This is the Community Forum on Classic Hits, 98.9 WJEZ. I'm Todd Weinberger, and joining me in the studio today is Tina Barton. She is an infection preventionist with OSF St. James, John W. Albright Medical Center. Tina, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
It is good to have you here because the weather has finally cooled off. It finally feels like fall, and we have to start thinking about diseases that come along with the colder weather, unfortunately. So what are the top bugs we want to be aware of during the fall and winter months?
What I usually see at the hospital and in our local community, starting out influenza, that's usually one of the top ones that we see. According to the Center for Disease Control, they list the seasonal flu time to be October 1st through usually about May 1st. Peak season with that is usually December through March. Pneumonia comes in second with that. That's a respiratory illness. A lot of things can lead into pneumonia. Influenza can lead to pneumonia. So that kind of goes hand in hand with it. For our younger population, the infants, small children, and then even older adults, we have the respiratory syncytial virus, which is known as RSV. And that's actually an inflammation in the airways to the lung. And then strep, usually when you're back to school, kids getting back to school, all coming together, usually we see that strep throat kind of flare up.
Can I just ask you, as a medical professional, how do you tell the difference between just an ordinary sore throat, like we all get from time to time, and strep throat?
There's a lot of things that go along with strep. Usually a fever, you'll notice that. Sometimes body aches. Strep can travel to other parts of the body, not just the throat. It can go into the joints. You can experience a lot of fatigue, body aches. And if you notice those symptoms and they're not going away, you need to contact your physician.
And strep stands for streptococcus of some kind.
Streptococcus, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What's your advice for people who want to try to minimize their chances of getting sick from one of these viruses? I mean, is it possible to duck this whole situation?
If you're lucky. But no, seriously, most people do. Flu vaccine and pneumonia vaccine are at the top of the list. In settings where there's a large amount of people, schools, daycares, nursing homes, assisted living, hand hygiene's a must there. Frequent hand washing, that's just the one way to combat that from happening. Cover your cough. If you're starting to have the cough, the sniffles, all that good stuff, cover your cough. If you use a tissue, throw it away, wash your hands. One of the things that people don't realize is don't share food. And what I mean by that is don't eat after someone, don't share a drink with someone, even personal items. Don't share because you always have to assume that that other person's not performing hand hygiene and not washing their hands frequently. And then if you're sick, stay at home. That's the best thing that you can do. Treat your symptoms over the counter. If they're prolonged and they're not going away, call your physician. During peak season, when you know that the flu's in the community, maybe stay away from those large crowds, large gatherings, because that's probably the best place to come down with it.
Let me ask you a couple of quick follow-up questions.
Sure.
Is hand sanitizer enough? When you talk about hand hygiene, if I carry the little bottle around, and there are several brands, but I mean, if I use the alcohol-based cleansers, do they really clean my hands?
They do. According to the CDC, the hand sanitizers are just as effective for hand hygiene as soap and water. But keep in mind, after you use that hand sanitizer a few times, you want to use soap and water because you'll get residual from the actual gel on your hands. So the hand sanitizers are a good item to have in your pocket.
Is it really important to cough into the crook of your arm as opposed to putting your fist in front of your mouth?
Actually, it is. You know, we've all done it. It comes on you quick, a sneeze or whatever, and you grab your hands and you throw them up. You got to wash your hands after that. You're sneezing those germs right into your hand. So by doing it in the crook of your arm, you're actually sneezing either into the elbow or down and away from your body.
And most importantly, not on your hand where
not
you're just
your
going
hand.
To spread it to other surfaces so easily.
Absolutely.
There's some bad information going around about the flu. And this, of course, is a disease that's been around and it's caused some real problems in the past. So what do we want to clarify? What should we know from a medical professional?
You know, one of the old wives' tales about it is people refer to vomiting and diarrhea as I've got the flu. And to them, it is the flu. You know, even as a child, I know we were sick. Yep, you had the flu. Or you got the stomach flu.
Yeah.
But influenza is actually a respiratory illness. You know, the sore throats, the sneezing, the runny nose, headache, fatigue, that type of thing. Getting the flu from the vaccine is another one. We still have a lot of people that swear that when they get that flu vaccine, they're coming down with the flu right after it. The flu vaccine's made up of an inactivated virus. And what that means is it's dead. There's no live virus in it. So you're not actually getting the flu.
Okay.
But the flu vaccine enables your body to develop antibodies to fight the flu. So if you're a person who gets maybe mild body aches, gets a headache, maybe a little bit of a scratchy throat for a day or two after you've had the flu vaccine, that means your body's building those antibodies to fight the flu. So you probably needed the flu vaccine more than somebody else did if you're experiencing some of those, you know, milder symptoms with it.
So the symptoms are just your body reacting and recognizing that as
it's got to fight
an invader.
Yeah. egg allergies. That's always been a big thing through the years. The flu vaccine is made up of a very small amount of egg protein. So in years past, anybody with an egg allergy was told not to take the vaccine due to, you know, potential reaction. Mm-hmm. With research and technology and changing the flu vaccine along the way, it's now recommended that anybody with an egg allergy can take the vaccine, that it is safe for them. There's a very, very small chance that they would react to it. And, you know, the other thing that's out there is they do have, I believe it's two vaccines that are egg-free. They're a pure vaccine and they're egg-free. And you need to talk with your physician about, you know, where to get those.
I was just going to say, probably the best idea, talk with a professional if you have those concerns.
Absolutely. And then the last one is probably the statement that the flu vaccine doesn't work. And I think what everyone needs to keep in mind is the flu virus evolves very, very quickly and mutates, if you will. That occurs from the beginning of the flu season all the way through. And so researchers are already right now working on next year's vaccine. So they're trying to predict what's going to be in it. I guess the best advice I could tell you is, by taking the flu vaccine, if you do get the flu after receiving the vaccine, it's going to be a milder case and your symptoms are going to be milder than if you didn't have it.
Tina Barton is our guest this morning. She's an infection preventionist at OSF St. James, John W. Albright Medical Center. We're talking about the flu. We are getting into that season, and we're just talking about ways to avoid it, hopefully. People who are older have added risks, and there are often other vaccine recommendations for those folks. So what are those recommendations?
Okay. With the older, our older population, there's actually what's called, and most people know it as high dose flu vaccine. Uh-huh. And that's usually for people that are age 65 and older. Okay. And what it is, it's four times the antigen, the flu antigen is in it to help develop those antibodies quicker.
Okay.
And usually our older population are a little more susceptible. They can't fight infections quite as easily as, you know, the younger population. So that's the first one. And then the second one is actually the pneumonia vaccine. And pneumonia vaccine's recommended for children under the age of 2. And then it's recommended for adults 65 and older, again, for those same reasons. You know, their bodies don't always function quite as well as ours do their immunity. But people ages 2 to like 64 can also qualify for the pneumonia vaccine. And usually those are what we call the high risk population. And you really need to speak to your physician about it to see if you fall into that category. But an example would be someone with chronic, like, heart, liver, lung, kidney diseases, diabetes, HIV, anybody who's immunocompromised that doesn't have a real good immunity system.
Okay.
So they need to talk with their physician and see if they qualify.
If you're sick, what should you do?
Stay at home. I think that's the best thing to tell anyone is if you're not feeling well, stay out of public gatherings. You know, stay at home, treat your symptoms. If you're having body aches, sore throat, fever, if it's appropriate, acetaminophen, ibuprofen over the counter. If you're having a cough or the sniffles or whatever, cough drops, cough syrup, that type of thing. If you notice that your symptoms aren't going away within a couple of days, call your physician.
If people want to learn more, obviously this is a vast subject, and people have their own particular medical situations. So where can they go to find out more information?
The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, is a wonderful website. That website's www.cdc.gov/flu. When you type that in, that'll take you right to their flu page, and you can ask questions. You can type in their the query box to find out answers. It's a really good website to find out more. And then also, you know, our local health department, Livingston County Health Department here in town, wonderful resource. And I'm not trying to overload them with calls, but absolutely, if you have questions or you need to know where you can get your vaccine, that type of thing, if you don't have a family physician, call them. They'll be able to direct you and where you need to go. And also your family physician, your primary care physician. If you have questions, call in there, talk to the nurse, talk to the doctor, ask them questions. And then last but not least, I work at St. James Hospital. I'm there Monday through Friday, and I'm always available to answer questions. You can call 815-842-2828. That's the main number for the hospital, and then just ask for infection prevention.
That infection preventionist is Tina Barton, and she's been our guest this morning on the Community Forum. Tina, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Todd Weinbrenner. This is the Community Forum on Classic Hits, 98.9 WJEZ.